My question for you, friends, this morning is this. Can you pray? Can you pray? And by that I'm asking, will God listen? Will prayer work in your life? How do you know that you are on the right channel? You know, how do you not know that your prayers, that someone at the other end on the same channel, who is God? How do you know that your prayers don't just bounce down off the ceiling and make it no further? How do you know that you're praying correctly? How do you know that your prayers are pleasing to God? Do you know? It actually takes confidence, doesn't it? If you want to pray and be a prayerful person, a prayer warrior, a prayer champion, you're going to need some confidence in praying. You know, so I think the more confident you are, the more you will pray. So if you want to be a more prayerful person, you need to get your confidence in the right place. So you need to get the foundation right, and good prayer will follow in your life. Often we think good prayer is about the right technique, and I don't think that's right. You know, we think if only we can get the perfect words, the perfect posture, or the perfect place and time, then prayer will just click in and we'll start connecting and seeing fruit. But I don't think it's about technique, friends. I think it's about our confidence. It's about our foundation. It's about understanding who God is and understanding the gospel basis on which you pray, the gospel foundation on which you pray. Once you know the God of the Bible better and you know the gospel well, then you've got a foundation on which prayer can just fly. This is really, we've come out of Easter. All I'm really doing is applying Easter to you, applying what Jesus has accomplished, and I want to show you today how it affects prayer. So my question, can you pray? Why can you pray? Can you answer that? On what basis can you pray? And to crack this open, we're going to look at a famous paragraph of Scripture, Romans chapter 3, 21 to 26. We're not going to do it really in detail. I'm going to show you three important concepts from that one paragraph. It's a beautiful summary of the gospel. If you ever want a summary of the gospel, this is probably where I would go, Romans 3, 21 to 26. There's a famous Melbourne Bible scholar, famous around the world, Leon Morris, lived in Melbourne last century, was at Ridley College. He's got this massive library that he dumped on the college. They've got it now when he died. He said that this paragraph may be possibly the most important single paragraph ever written of anything that's ever been written. So there's one paragraph you want to get something of a handle on. I'd say Romans 3, 21 to 26. And it is a bit tricky though, isn't it? Because what we're doing is jumping into something that's been an unfolding argument in Romans, and we haven't got the context of the flow of that. Maybe sometime in the future, Berwick Anglican Church will feast on Romans, and we'll do a big thing on Romans and unpack the whole thing. It's wonderful. But let's just see what we can get out of it. The first thing, well, let's read 21, 22, and I want to talk to you about the concept of, it's called justification and prayer. He says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The first conviction behind confident prayer is that in Christ you are righteous. That in Jesus you are righteous. Paul says, there's a righteousness from God that has been made known, and it comes through faith in Jesus. It doesn't come, it's funny, it doesn't actually come through being righteous. It doesn't come through works. It doesn't come through law. It's a status that is declared of you when you trust in Jesus. God declares you righteous. You see, we think wrongly that prayer is somehow a path to righteousness, and by praying better we'll become more righteous. You see? But that's not right. Actually, the way the Bible works is you pray confidently because you've already been declared righteous in Christ. And this declaration has a name. It's called justification. So people call it justification by faith. Declaration that you are right with God. You're in a right relationship with God because of Jesus, independent of what you've done, independent of how your day's going, how your football team's going. I'm really sorry if you broke for Melbourne. What an embarrassment last night. The Essendon fans would be feeling confident to pray, but not the Melbourne fans. But that's not right, is it? We need an objective basis for prayer that's independent of our moods, and that is Jesus. And so justification says you are declared righteous. So when you pray, this is how you can pray confidently, any of you. You could pray, Dear God, my Father, I come to you now through Jesus Christ, who has put me in a right relationship with you. Please help me, thank you for, You know what I mean? So that's how you pray confidently, through Jesus. And that's the gospel. Because you are justified, you can pray. Because you are declared righteous, you can pray. Because you are in a right relationship with God through Christ, you can pray. Stand on what Jesus has done for you. So don't stand on how you're feeling about yourself that day. It doesn't really depend on whether you've lost your temper that day or whatever your bad character flaw is, your big sin or your big addiction is. You know, I wonder if Christians say have a morning quiet time because it doesn't take long just to do something horrible to someone and then you don't feel like praying anymore because you feel unworthy. But that shouldn't even matter. You are worthy because of Christ, because you're declared righteous. I mean, Paul says if you're worried about your behaviours, there's no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. From you to the Pope, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, declared righteous, freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So we pray not because we haven't sinned, but we pray because we have sinned, but we are righteous in Christ. And therefore we have confidence to come to God's throne in prayer because of justification. That's the gospel, justification. Now there's two other key concepts going on here, two other jewels in the crown of the gospel. One is justification. The other I've just mentioned in verse 24 is redemption. And the third is called atonement. So justification, redemption, atonement are the three main images of Romans chapter 3. Now, when I say justification, I was talking about language of a judge, a courtroom. Just imagine you're in the courtroom of God and he declares you righteous in Christ. It's a court legal type image. That's justification. In fact, it's an image anticipating the courtroom of Judgment Day where we will all face when Jesus returns or when we die. And the Christian knows the end time verdict now. That's the gospel. You know you're justified now. You know what the verdict will be. That's Christianity. That's the gospel. So justification is about the courtroom of God. But redemption is a second metaphor, and it's got nothing to do with courts. It's got everything to do with shopping centres, marketplaces. In the ancient world, it's a commercial term. You would go to a marketplace and you would, of many things that you could redeem, you could buy a slave and redeem a slave. So the second concept here in the gospel is that in Christ we have redemption through his blood. We have been commercially bought by God, commercially set free or changed masters from past things to God. So redemption is the second foundation of your prayers. You can pray knowing that you belong to God. He bought you. He owns you. He redeemed you by the blood of Christ. And Jesus himself talked about this. Do you know that famous saying? See if you can just recite it in your head with me if you know it. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and to what? To give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus talked about his own death as sort of a purchase as a commercial transaction to buy us back to God. So when you pray, you're not praying to a master you do not know or do not belong to called God. You're praying to the God who owns you. He is your master. You belong to him. Of course you must pray to him. You know, the connection is there through Christ. You are his. You are his. You don't belong to the master called sin. You don't belong to the master called the world or your worst habits. They don't own you anymore. God owns you in Jesus. So there's two images. Courtroom justification and marketplace redemption. Now, the third image is called atonement. Now, that's not a courtroom word. It's not a marketplace word, atonement. What's that metaphor from? It's from the temple. It's from religion. It's from the temple of Israel, where God had commanded sacrifices of atonement to be made for sin, blood shed for sin to wash it away. And that's the third part of the gospel in Romans 3. It says in verse 25, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. And so God's justice demands a punishment. He cannot just overlook sin. He cannot just overlook the evil things we have done. But he has brought a sacrifice in from his very own self, his son. And his son is that atonement. So God is the one who presents. We don't offer God a sacrifice. He offers a sacrifice to atone for our sin, to satisfy his own justice. When you pray then, how does that help you be confident? Well, it means that guilt shouldn't hold you back from praying. You can pray to God saying, thank you, God, my sin is washed away by the blood of your son. My sin is atoned for. And God, you know, I've had a crappy day and I've been wicked. I need you, Lord. You know, and you can come in Jesus' name on channel Jesus and know that you are justified, know that you're redeemed, and know that your sin is atoned for. His blood washes it away. In the when Anglicans first sort of started in the Reformation, there were heaps of fights about this. Are we justified by faith alone, or do you need to add good works to it? And the Protestants argued strongly from Romans chapter 3 that it's all by Christ. It's all by Christ. They saw that if you have to add something to it, confidence just goes out the window, just flush it down the toilet. You're no longer going to be confident if it depends even partly on you. But if it depends all on Christ, then it is done. Justification, redemption, atonement. And then you can pray, you can love God, you can know God. So my question to you, friends, is can you pray? Can you pray? Well, someone might argue, I can't pray because I'm not in a right relationship with God. And we would say, but believe in Christ and you will be in a right relationship with God immediately. Then you can pray. Someone might say, I can't pray because I don't belong to God. I'm a slave to dark things. We would say, follow Christ, trust in Christ, and he will be your new master. He will buy you, he will redeem you, and then you can pray. Or someone might say, I can't pray because my guilt weighs heavy. I'm a rebel. You don't know me. You know, I'm a rebel. You don't know the thoughts I have. You don't know my history, what I've got on my background that God knows. But we would say, believe in Christ, and his atonement turns aside God's anger against those behaviors, those attitudes, those thoughts. So friends, in Christ, you can pray, all of you. You can all pray. Because of the blood of Jesus, you can pray. Because of justification by faith, you can all pray. Because of redemption from sin, you can pray. Because of atonement, you can pray. Jesus is the only thing you need to pray. It's all you need. And when you are praying in Jesus' name, your prayers are always pleasing to God. And your prayers are as good as anyone's when you pray in Jesus' name. You don't need more time or more skill or more Bible knowledge or more experience. You can pray right now in the name of Jesus and your prayer is just as pleasing to God as the Archbishop of Melbourne or the Archbishop of Canterbury. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all through Jesus we're on this equal footing. You can pray any time of the day or night. You can pray whether you're feeling horrible or whether you're feeling great. You can pray whether you're Essendon or whether you're Melbourne. You can pray when you're tired, when you're grumpy, when you're sad, when you're depressed. You can pray when you, even when you feel like God isn't listening. You can pray confidently knowing that he is listening. He's promised to listen on channel Jesus. You can pray when you feel like your words are awful and stumbling and dumb. That's okay, as long as you're praying in Jesus' name. You can pray knowing that God is just, that he doesn't have a punishment he's hiding to spring on you, but it's all been put on his son. Friends, you can pray. All of you, you can pray in Jesus. Let me encourage you, pray. Pray in Jesus' name on channel Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, standing on him, on his blood shed, on our justification, on our redemption in him, on the atonement that's sufficiently made in him. Thank you, Father, that we can call on you and your ear is fully turned to us through Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can all pray. And that we can all pray in your Son. Amen.